time to say good morning to Peter Allam with today's edition of Legal Eagle. Peter, on this chilly Monday morning, good morning.
Yes, all of a sudden spring is in the air, but it's got cold. We've had some last rains the last day or two, but we move on. Summer is coming.
It's got to come sometime. I think this is the last whack of winter before we get into our spring season and the spring rains.
Correct. Well, our chat today is settlement agreements. In other words, when people come to an agreement and they make it in full and final settlement, so often people shake hands and say, okay, so I owe you 10 rand, I'm going to give you 5 rand and we're going to call it a day. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple and easy as that. People need to understand that in this day and age, you can't take people by their word, unfortunately. Some you can. I'm not saying everybody. Yeah. You do get those noble people that stick to agreements that are made. But particularly with regard to settlement agreements that are full and final, one must understand that it's outside of the normal settlement. So in other words, it's not as if you buy a vehicle that costs you 10 rand and you've paid the full 10 rand. Uh-huh. We're talking about a situation where you bought a vehicle for 10 rand, you've got in a bit of financial difficulty, you negotiate with the person that's given you finance to accept 8 rand in settlement right off the interest because the 10 rand included interest. And that agreement needs to be reduced to writing.
Right.
The most important thing is must be reduced to writing so that the facts regarding it are clear. Because, you know, the question comes, is it in full and final settlement if you shake a hand?
Uh-huh.
Is it in full and final settlement if you send the money? Those are all questions that are to be answered. Of course, you also get the situation where so often people come along and they owe a debt to somebody and that person's harassing them. And then they pay money into the banking account and they say 8 rand in full and final settlement. That's not good enough. You can't just unilaterally make your decision that you're going to pay it in full and final settlement. What you've got to do is that if you're going to do something like that, you have to ensure that you've notified the other person. You need to endorse that payment on the bank deposit in full and final settlement, and the other person must know that it's been paid in full and final settlement.
Okay.
If that other person accepts it voluntary and without knowledge that you paid it in full and final settlement, you will not get away with that. There must be communication leading up to that. Of course, if you do agree on something in full and final settlement, there's no harm, but then you need to safeguard yourself properly. Mm. You need to put it boldly on the deposit slip. You need to send a mail or these days a WhatsApp or something to the person to say, in terms of our agreement, this payment is in full and final settlement. So that both parties have a meeting of the minds and understand that it's in full and final settlement. It's a term that's used. People so often come and say, but I paid him in settlement and he's got the money and I don't owe anymore. Not so. You know, a great one these days is also rentals, outstanding rentals. You find people that have fallen into debt. They owe a fortune in rentals. They negotiate with the landlord and the landlord says, I accept 80% in full and final settlement. Uh-huh. And then what happens if people don't pay 80%, they start paying off and they think they can just continue like that. You also can't change the conditions. So that's why a state must be reduced to writing.
Right, right.
There's a famous case in our law reports that says it must be in writing, the terms and conditions must be clear. So if I'm owed 10 rand and somebody says to me they'll give me 80%, 8 rand in settlement, I must make sure that that's reduced to writing. It must also be clear on what happens in the event of a breach. So if I'm going to say, okay, I want to pay you 8 rand to settle the debt at 10 rand, we draw up an agreement. If it's not paid in one lump sum, then you've got to set out what the installments are. Say I'm going to pay 4 installments at 2 rand each. There must be a clause that specifically says, if I default on anyone, what happens? So what is that clause? That clause is a clause that will say, if you default on any one of the 2 rand payments, the full balance together with interest and further costs will become due and payable. What is the full balance? Is it the 8 rand less the 2 rand that you paid, making it 6 rand, or is it back to the 10 rand?
Okay.
That must be clearly set out in the agreement. So the one in the Nedbank case that I referred to was one where it specifically said that in the event of the debtor failing to effect payment, the full balance in terms of the original agreement will come back into play.
But
if you draft a settlement agreement and you don't have that in there, you're only going to get payment of the 8 rand that you've settled on. So that's why it's so important to make sure that it's reduced to writing, and go and see an attorney, go and see somebody that can draft a proper agreement. Always remember as well, don't just accept what the creditor says. So often see people that owe money to a finance house or owe money to a big consortium, and they draft an agreement and say to him, "Yeah, if you sign that, we'll settle with you and let you off."
Yeah.
You know, take it to an attorney and check it, because the legal terms inside there, they're hidden. The breach clause, the acceleration clause. You know, sometimes you have a clause that says you're going to pay 2 rand per month for 4 months. You can't all of a sudden get the 6 rand and go and pay it and think that you've settled.
Mm.
It might not allow for an acceleration clause. So your non-novation clause, your acceleration clause, your breach clause, the proper terms and condition, what happens to interest, they all need to be reduced to writing and placed in there.
Right.
So, you know, the domicilium must be clear in there as well. Invariably, people enter into agreements and they've been at another address and then they have a new address. So that's another very important thing that gets added in there. You don't want them to sit on an older address in terms of the original document
that
no longer exists. So you know, you've got to be careful. Like I said, with that Nedbank case, you refer to in our legal terms, you know, the people bound themselves there jointly and severally, co-principal debtors. And yes, it was each one to pay a certain amount, but they were jointly and severally in there. Joint and several means that you're all responsible until it's paid in full. Doesn't mean you pay your share and you get more.
Yeah.
But if the agreement specifically states that, it's different. So, you know, terms and conditions are very, very important and need to be properly put into the document. So let somebody that knows what they're doing, a professional person, do it, take it, read it, let someone else read it. You know, you're very emotional when you do a settlement. You know, you sometimes, you're trying to please somebody, you're trying to please yourself, and, you know, you make that mistake of entering into one in full and final, and it's not perhaps what you want because you haven't thought it through properly. So you get a full and final settlement to be found on a debt. You know, that's the most important one where it normally is.
Uh-huh.
It's also in a divorce, very important in a divorce. You must understand that when you sign that settlement agreement with attorneys or by yourselves and you put the word there that this is in full and final settlement, that means full and final settlement. Don't come back 6 months later and say, my husband took money out of my bank account and promised to pay me back. Now I want it back because you've signed a settlement agreement. It's gone.
Mm.
You know, also... Mm. People sign off houses, people sign off cars, people sign off pension policies, and all that in a divorce. And that agreement will say this is in full and final settlement. You cannot come back and say, I forgot this or I forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people slip up. They don't put maintenance in. They don't put, you know, things like that into the document and come back and say, oh, but, you know, it's unfair. There's no unfairness. Mm, you sign a document, it's in full and final settlement. So you've got debts, you've got divorce. And, of course, the third one where people sign full and final a lot is you're in partnership with somebody, you're running a business, you're not seeing eye to eye anymore, you decide you're going to split, you decide one person's going to go. And, you know, so you're running a nice little franchise together. You're doing well, but you're not getting on as partners. You part. And you enter into an agreement that's in full and final settlement, but you forget to put a clause in there, maybe a breach clause where one must be paid out, maybe a clause where you've got a restraint, very important, a restraint. You know, you can't settle a partnership and a franchise, and then the next day your old partner opens up in opposition to you. He might be the stronger person in the partnership.
Yes.
You might have elected to take over a restaurant or something like that, and the next week you look and there's old Joe Soap, your old partner, in his own new restaurant 2 doors away from you. So, you know, you've got to be cautious. All the instances where, you know, there can be disputes over non-monetary matters as well.
Mm,
so all of these documents that refer to full and final settlement should be reduced to writing.
Right.
And, of course, the most difficult thing is that if you have a shake of a hand to show that, was if you don't have something to back it up, and these days it's quite easy. WhatsApp is so good because you can send a message to Joe Soap. You can send an email to Joe Soap with a read report to confirm that he's read it, to say the agreement of so-and-so is such, 1, 2, 3, and the aforesaid is in full and final settlement, no recourse from either of us after that.
Yeah.
And those words, full and final settlement, are as important as without prejudice. To me, those are two very, very important clauses. If you're doing something without prejudice, make sure you mark it clearly. If you're doing something in full and final settlement, make sure that you mark it clearly. Put it big and bold in the document, in the email, in the WhatsApp, whatever it might be. You know, people are bargaining every day and doing things in full and final settlement, not realizing the effect that it has. So, yeah, it's an interesting topic. That's basically it. It's not a very lengthy topic, but it's there. So be cautious. Consult with an attorney or professional person that can help you. As I say, my biggest negativity on in full and final settlement is that people, for example, own a motor vehicle. They go to the finance house. They're on the back foot because they're scared. They're nervous. They make an offer to them and say, pay X amount. The people think, oh, this is like heaven. I'm getting a gap, and they sign, not realizing what they're signing. You know, sometimes the people reduce the – I've heard of instances where they've reduced the amount but added the interest. So instead of like a 6% interest, all of a sudden it's a 10% interest on the settlement.
So you've got to be very careful.
You've got to be careful. The terms and conditions need to be explained to you. And don't put signature to something that you haven't read and understood.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of foreign nationals in our country as well. And I had one the other day who cannot read or write English at all, speaks broken English.
Mm.
He signed a settlement agreement, not understanding the terms and conditions, and it's there, signed by him. I think the court may come to his assistance in the sense that they would have to prove that they read and explained it to him.
Yeah.
So, but it's still in a balance of probabilities as to what's going to happen with something like that.
Mm.
So that's basically where we are today.
And just a question on when it comes to these types of agreements, I'm thinking sometimes it could be something that, as you say, you know, over a handshake, one person owes another one money. Maybe he's paying off a car or something, and then just at a moment of weakness, he says, okay, well, let's just call it quits here and shake hands. So quite often I'm guessing that these types of agreements could take place emotionally more than thinking and sitting and thinking through the facts of the transaction. And once again, that's why you say make sure that it's written down and you've got everything in writing.
Absolutely. You know, so often people do things like that, saying, oh, I don't want to be bad friends with Jack Black because he's a good mate of mine. But, you know, it causes problems. He's always separate people.
Mm.
And you need to make sure that what you're doing, like you've just said now, don't just sign and think that it's all hunky-dory. Make sure that it is proper, that it's forever, and that it's in absolute good faith. You know, you're expected to negotiate in absolute good faith, and one needs to make sure that that is there.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. And emotionally, you know, it's just so often that it gets carried away, and that happens. You also find so often with divorces. I mean, you know, full and final settlement in a divorce, you get a husband or a wife that's bullied the other partner. They produce a settlement figure, and the guy says, look, I don't want to fight with my wife. I'd rather just give her what she wants and walk away. I mean, I often get people that say, I wasn't the cause of the divorce. My wife wanted a divorce. I gave her everything so that my kids are happy. And then afterwards regrets it because the wife starts talking nonsense about him, didn't do this, didn't do that. She'd back at him for monies for things that haven't been cleared and clarified in the settlement agreement.
Once again, you know, writing.
Don't just put back to our whole thing that you said the other day. Don't put pen to ink to what? Don't put ink to paper unless you're certain.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Think before you ink.
Think before you ink. That's and, a good one. Yeah,
yeah.
Think
yeah. before you ink. But very, very interesting, and you know, always, always be careful. And Peter, if somebody is wanting to get advice and they get in touch with Alums, how do they go about it?
They can get us on Facebook. Just add a surname, A-L-L-A-M for Mary S. Like us on Facebook, and you'll find all of the weekly chats and everything on there. Details of us. Not to forget, Wolves Week is coming up from.
Right.
I think it's from this week. For the month of September, we do wolves. We can give you advice. You can come and make a free appointment, discuss your old wolf, see if you need a new wolf, and all the rest of it. So make sure that you know you take advantage of that. On our site, you will find Mike Adams' number. You can phone him, make an appointment, and get it done. Alternative to that, we're situated at 6 Sansom Road in Berea. Telephone 043-721-1018. It's a little side street in Devere Avenue where Pep Stores is on the corner, number 6.
Right, right. Oh, that's it. Peter, thank you very, very much. Have a great week and look forward to chatting next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Cheerio then. That's Peter Allam with today's Legal Eagle slot. And the